The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Who is Rorschach? To find out, visit hearustalk.com/who is he.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Go to djnewstyleshow.com, subscribe, download previous episodes, get up to date with this shit that I give you. I give it to you twice a week now. I used to give it to you once a week. Now I'm giving it to you twice a week. All right? Because I'm that kind of guy. I am that type of guy. And that's where you go, djnewstyleshow.com. If you're so inclined to call the show, dude, I'm so inclined right now. You can call 20, wait a minute. I'm sorry. What's the fucking number? I don't even remember the goddamn fucking number. How did I fucking forget this? You know what? No one calls it anyway. I literally wiped my fucking memory of the number. 316-768-4472. Wow, is that fucking terrible. I almost gave out my fucking, my own number. Like, just in case you miss it during the live broadcast, you can just call me at work. We could just talk about it then. I mean, it's cool. Whenever you feel like you want to tell me about, you know, the time you shit into a toilet and made it stinky. That's fine. Just do it on your own schedule. You download and listen to the shows on your own schedule. Why not interact on your own schedule? Call me when it's most convenient for you. That's right. No. But you can call 316-768-4472 during the live broadcast. Now, some of you have downloaded this. You might not get it. What? Why is he giving a phone number if I'm downloading it? How? You can call that and leave a fucking message whenever you download it. Just leave a message. But if you're listening to it as I'm recording it, you can actually speak to me. Thrill that it might be. Thrill that it absolutely is. It can happen. Now, this is episode 289. That's 289. What I've been doing is I've been taking the episode number and I've been trying to determine the significance or association that that number plays in my memory, my experiences, and I'm starting to lose faith in that whole idea. I'm starting to lose steam on it. Because it worked real well when it was the number that coincided with a computer processor. Oh, I could just rattle off about that for a 10-minute span or whatever. But now it's 289, and I have nothing to attribute to that fucking number. Except that if I close my eyes and I say 289, I'm brought back to some kind of maybe like a weight class or something. Maybe like a weight, like a fat person would tell you that they weigh and prompt you for some kind of, I don't know, praise or sympathy. Like whenever a fat person tells me like, hey, yeah, I'm 289. Like, I mean, I don't keep logs on every fat person's fluctuating shame. So should I just, you know, as a blanket rule, just say, oh, that's great. Because I think the only reason they would tell you this is because they must have lost a pound or two or a few pounds. And they want some kind of feedback. They want to gauge their progress with you, so they tell you the fucking weight. And it's always a number that ends in nine, just to so they can kind of keep their heads away from like the next barrier. Because I think we like to think in terms of 10. So it's not 290. Whoa, it's 289. So these fat people are employing the rule used by fucking gas stations to make us feel less fucking irritated at what we pay to fuel our stupid cars to go to our stupid fucking jobs. It's $2.89. It's not as bad as $2.90, huh? And the little the fucking the pittance that they fucking lost. I'm down 11 pounds. It's just, I mean, they're really proud of it, and that's great. That's fucking great. But do you need to put up a goddamn billboard and reach out and fucking just pat people with that little backhanded slap sometimes they give you on the chest, like, hey, hey, the back of their hand to your fucking shoulder. What's up? Haven't seen you. 289. Drop 10 pounds. Yeah, great. I didn't fucking notice. I had no fucking idea. Thank you for letting me know you dropped 10 pounds. And don't get me wrong. I talk a lot of shit about fat people. But generally, fat people are fucking great. The only shit I talk about them is the same that everybody fucking says. It's the same complaint. Whenever you're in a confined space with a fat person, whenever you are obligated to be shoulder to shoulder with whoever you're next to, fat people will always be complained about. But generally, walking around, living life, going through this whole fucking experience that we're given for some reason, dealing with a fat person really isn't that big of a deal. I actually prefer it because they're not outgoing generally. They have some kind of, like, innate shame, I guess. Like, some kind of innate defense mechanism where it's like, well, if I don't make myself as noticed, I'm not as fat. So they don't really go out and try to bother you. There's exceptions. There are some that are very, very pushy and outgoing fat people. The fat people that aren't shameful, I guess, are the ones I don't like. I really like a mentally damaged fat person. I like someone who's been so ridiculed that they no longer have the desire to reach out to other human beings. Okay, basically I've turned a nice sentiment of, like, I like fat people into, I only like the ones that we've beaten into nothing. I like the ones that we've shredded every fiber of moral hope. So that's pretty fucking dumb. But I guess the thing that really irritates me, aside from being confined with fat people in tight quarters, is are the series of fat lies. They just, for some reason, if you ever get in a conversation with someone who is decidedly fat. Now, there are fat people who I don't fucking see as fat. How about that? Because it's possible. You can be a complete fat, sloppy fucking mess. But if that's not what defines you, if you're not just the fucking, here comes the fucking fat guy with no hope. Here comes the fucking fat guy. Oh, who are you talking about? Yeah, you know, the fat fuck, the fat guy. Yeah, oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. If there's something else that gets you beyond being identified as the fucking fat guy, and somehow you reach the stratosphere where you're referred to, I don't know, by your name or maybe a talent, that's when it's completely cool. But the fat people, identified only by their sloth or genetic misfortune, are the ones that will engage in the fucking fat lies. And the fat lies that I'm referring to are when you talk to them, everything is about fucking food. Everything is about the shit that they did, the workouts they fucking did. Oh, yeah, I eliminated sugar. Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great fucking decision you should have made fucking decades ago. Look at you. You're not a fucking person who should be touting their ability to look at a dish of sugary food and say no. Because you're not, that's not you. Someone with fucking tanned, ripped fucking muscles can say, yeah, I eliminated sugar. And they say, oh, well, obviously that's what you need to do to look like this. You eliminate sugar. But no, this fucking fat fuck has decided that nobody sees them as anything but fat. So now they're trying to inject some kind of imaginary regimen into the conversation always that they're not even doing. They're, anytime a fat person says, I've eliminated, and then something that isn't healthy, like, obviously, like, if they said, I've eliminated candy, you know they're still eating candy. I've eliminated broccoli from my diet. Yeah, that's obvious. We can fucking see it. Because you look, your legs are now purple because you can't even fucking move and you're in a motorized cart. But the fat lies are when they start talking about, like, I don't know why I'm so fat. I don't know. I only eat this much. And they make a little, they take like their little fucking index and thumb and make like a little tiny fucking smidgen motion. Like, I only eat this much. Or they'll put their hands together and make a real tiny circle. I made rice, but I only had, yeah. Just fucking fat lies. And we know it's not fucking true. Or it happened once. It either never happened, or it happened one fucking time. And it's the most aggravating, fucking pathetic goddamn thing. Someone who can't lose weight, and someone who can't get into the shape that they once were in, shouldn't just fucking talk about how they're, ugh, I try. How about you just try to do something that isn't involved with your fucking weight? You've obviously, it's not something you can deal with. We've all figured that out. You're wearing a vertical shirt and it looks like the cage a gorilla just fucking broke out of by stretching the bars and stepping through. Your vertical striped shirt looks like fucking parentheses. We get that you can't fucking lose the weight. We understand it the minute we fucking look at you. You don't need to keep whining to us. Tell us how you fucking, how you drew something. I don't know. Tell us about a good fucking day at work. As miserable as that would fucking be, I would sit through, the retelling of 29 office drama stories than one fucking series of fat lies. Just can't fucking tell. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. No, it's not the absolute worst thing. Because people are multifaceted. And they have many, many ways of irritating me. And just being something and complaining about it is one of them. One of them. We're getting a lot of snow in New Jersey. It's not something that needs to really be said or harped on or complained about. That's like, I guess I'm thin lying, I guess, by complaining about the snow. But I'm not complaining about the fucking snow. It happens. It's happened my whole fucking life. I've lived here my entire life. I'm used to the fucking snow. What I just will never fucking understand are the people trying to drive in the fucking snow. And it's okay if you want to do it. It's absolutely fine if you can do it. And you take some fucking sense with you behind that fucking wheel. And maybe just think a little bit. The people get out on this fucking road and their car skids a little bit. And now they're on high fucking alert. And where I'm from, there's a lot of hills. There's a lot of fucking hills. And slush is on the road. You're not going to make the hills all the time. Sometimes you're going to slide down the fucking hill. If it's a back road, you know what? You just fucking go with it. You weave around. You go down the hill. No big fucking deal. I take the back roads. Not main highways. No traffic. Very fucking easy to deal with, you'd think. Every day, I take these roads to work. But every time it snows, people feel like, oh, these are the roads I should be on. The highways are crazy. The highways are fucking plowed, you fucking idiot. Now you're driving on this fucking goddamn ice skating rink. And you go down a hill and you slip and you freak out. The little gold exclamation in the triangle came on. My car's slipping. I don't know what I'm gonna do. So they get down this hill that they slid, and in their car, they regain traction. So now, thank Jesus I fucking survived that. I'll be more careful now. And they go 2 miles an hour. They've just slid down a huge hill, and now they're idling through the snow. What they don't fucking realize is that this is not their own fucking road. Other people will be sliding down this fucking hill. And when they get to the bottom and see somebody in a goddamn fucking truck idling, pulling real slow, there's no way to win for that guy. You had your chance to slide down and be okay, but you stole it because you're fucking scared from the guy coming behind you. So now the guy behind you has to either hit you or go into the oncoming lane to avoid you, which could potentially, like, if somebody's coming, he would get in a head-on collision. So he has to hit you now because you're going so fucking slow because you were scared. The snow done made your car slip. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Walter Sobchak. My frustrations always end with a southern accent. The goddamn truck done slipped. They don't speak like that, but goddammit, it's frustrating. So if someone's coming in the other lane, I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to fucking go. I can slam into a guardrail and spare you. But why the fuck should I? I'm gonna hit something, I may as well fucking hit you. But, as it turns out, the last storm was very, very bad, and this situation happened to me 3 fucking times! Each time it was a goddamn fucking truck. These people buy these SUVs, they buy them for the snow. To be good in the fucking snow. And they are good in the goddamn snow, but they'll slip just like everybody else. That's why I love to see, from a distance, of course, the people in the fucking pickup trucks in the snow. Well, I got 4-wheel drive, goddammit, I'm immortal. I'll just fucking lay on it, pass people. I see them fucking fishtail and spin out and go into a goddamn median. And they have these fucking urban assault vehicles with tires twice as thick as mine. And twice as fucking tall. They should be driving over fucking cars with half a frame. In muddy ovals. With these fucking dumb vehicles. And they still fucking slip. Because they haven't figured out that if I step on and I floor it in the slush, I'm gonna spin out a little bit. Haven't fucking figured it out. I don't know. It's just so fucking infuriating. If you drive in the goddamn snow and you get down a hill, just keep fucking going. There'll be other hills you'll slide down. There's people coming behind you. Do you want to get fucking rear-ended? And you know, if you're not cool with that, if you're not cool with going, you get a little bit shook up, maybe you should just fucking stay home. Maybe you should just call out of goddamn work. But I don't know. But I've got a report to get to, and I've got to get these things. I have deadlines. Just call out of fucking work. But my boss won't let me. Your boss won't let you call out. Your boss is not going to let you call out. So, which basically says that he values you being there more than risking your death. If any fucking employer ever says to somebody who's saying that they can't come in because it's too dangerous out, they don't care if you die. They generally just want some kind of fucking robot to churn out whatever papers you've decided to print or fucking email or convert to PDF. That's all they'll do. And then just make sure it gets to that person on this day. We need you. We're behind. Blah, blah, blah. But there's 2 inches of ice and my car is rear wheel drive and it's got an empty fucking rusted gas tank and the windows don't fucking roll up. Listen, you gotta be here. You're talking about your job here. Hey, you're talking about your job here. That fucking commercial from the 80s. Maybe I think they reused it in the 90s. The sexual harassment PSA was my favorite thing. Some guy with a businessman haircut, that real poofy. Like, he didn't even have curly hair, but now his hair's extra poofy. on all sides, like even the back. There's not a hint of a fade. He's got some fucking loud tie, and the shirt that's blue, but it's got the hard white collars and cuffs and suspenders. And he's talking to some fucking broad, and she's rejecting his advances, and his answers back to her when she refuses to do whatever demeaning thing that she wants him to do is, "Hey, you're talking about your job here." Like when she interviewed. So I see on your resume you have experience with Microsoft Excel. Can you tell me about that at all? Oh, okay. Well, I would generate the month-end reports, and I would make sure that the formulas are in. Okay, great. Did you ever suck off your boss while he drank coffee and yelled at you? Any experience with that at all?
No, none really.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not going to exactly be a perfect fit for this job, but we will keep your resume on file until you decide to just suck the cum from our corporate balls. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for your time.
Oh, no, thank you. It's great. If I ever do decide to just suck off a strange man while trying to earn a wage to feed my children and pay for my house, then I guess I'll hopefully be able to come back and work for you guys.
That fucking exchange. Just bullshit. It's all fucking shit. Pure fucking shit. God, what was I even talking? Oh, the boss that won't let you call out. Yeah. I have a poll going during the live broadcast. It's easily the most crotch-aching, terrible fucking Star Ledger local newspaper question, which is, are you going into work tomorrow? And I put that up there kind of ironically, and then I started to think about it. I'm like, I know I'm not going into fucking work tomorrow because it's going to be fucking dangerous. I have a long commute, and I'm driving through it. I'm not sitting on a train or anything. I could potentially die trying to get to a job where I sit at a desk and make software. I can do that from fucking anywhere. Why would I risk my fucking life? And my boss is completely cool with it. So if I say I'm going to work from home, or if I say I'm not coming in, it's not a big fucking deal. But there are people that say, well, find a replacement. We need you to be there. That's it. Bottom line. Just not giving a shit about whether you fucking die. Why are you still working there? I guess we have to. We have to work where we can work. That's the big reassurance. At least you have a job. We didn't give you a raise this year, but it, you know, in this economy, at least you have a job. Sorry, guys, no bonuses, but at least you have a job. You should feel fortunate that you have a job. And then it gets to the point where you start saying that, where it's like, yeah, you know, I generally hate most of my day. I'm starting to hate the fact that I'm still alive. I hate that I have to drive there. I hate the brown bag that I carry in because I'm not allowed to go out and spend fucking 30 minutes at a goddamn Fridays. I hate the chair that's broken where the little fucking, the wheel just pops off if I sit on it wrong. I hate. And then you realize, ooh, but at least I have a job. You hate most of your fucking life. But thank God for the ability to hate it. Thank God for that. I don't know. I really don't. I honestly don't fucking know. I remember working at a shitty job at Frank's Nursery and Crafts, a retail job. I told stories about this many, many fucking times. And that would be a place where you would hate to call out of because that's the type of manager that generally just sees you as somebody that just does things. But in the context of this company, you come in and what you do are these tasks. And outside of that, it's just fucking void. I don't think of you outside of that role. You have the Frank's fucking vest and baseball cap on always whenever you're thought of. So if you think you're not coming in, then I'm thinking you need to fucking reconsider your choice to work here. It's that type of thing. where they see a grid with names written in on a schedule. And now they have to get a new name for that, or the planets won't be lined up. The trivial shit that people risk their fucking lives for. Risk your fucking life to go to a fucking, what, a Starbucks? And serve coffee? What's it gonna get you? What the fuck is it gonna get you? It doesn't fucking matter. In fact, I worked there when I was much younger, so I wouldn't even call out. I actually would fucking slink away from the fact that I had to. And I would employ the master of calling out of work, my dad. He would call in for me, and I was like 16 years old. I should have definitely been calling my fucking boss and say, hey, look, I'm not going to make it in. I'm either sick or the roads are terrible. Click. My dad would just say, yeah, Kenny's not coming in. Because he's not. Thanks. That's it. Because he's not. How about that? Thanks. No reason. The guy's like, oh, well, could you maybe tell me why he's not coming? Yeah, because he's not coming in. How about that? Never give him a fucking reason and employ the type of tone where you didn't want to fucking pry. You just didn't want to fucking pry. And it was a total avoidance of confrontation. Mayonnaise is in the chat room, and he said that that's a good way to avoid, you know, any confrontation. And it totally is. When you have a fucking dad that grown men are fucking afraid of just hearing his voice, you would use that to your advantage. One, he didn't give a shit about about the fact that you were not going to that job. In fact, he kind of was happy about it. He was kind of happy that you were getting over on this fucking shitty, terrible, goddamn job that wouldn't let you accept a dollar from someone you just loaded 300 pounds of cow shit into a station wagon for. They come back with a dollar. You have to refuse it. Like, you're so fucking modest. Like, no, no, the pleasure's all mine. Let me just wipe my fucking cow dung fingers on this fucking pair of khakis that they forced me to buy because they noticed Best Buy employees wear the khakis and the tucked in collar shirt, so they want to be more like them. Let me just rub cow shit all over the fucking $10 ensemble I bought, the cheapest fucking green shirt and the cheapest fucking pants I could find, and I never washed them. Not once. Working there, I never fucking washed it. I looked like a goddamn car mechanic, wiping my fucking fingers on my pants with these fucking terrible, exact opposite of wrinkle-free. Like, I think they were permanent wrinkle. You could not iron these fucking pants until I got a nice caking of filth on them from wiping my mulchy, cow shitty fucking hands all over them. And it's, Ken, you need to work on your appearance a little bit. You need to work. Oh, yeah, I know. It's just so hard because I'm working with the dehydrated cow manure that you left in the rain and fucking rehydrated into actual cow shit that I'm loading into fucking cars with my fucking hands. I'm sorry that my khakis aren't pristine after a fucking day of moving shit, soggy fucking shit, into goddamn cars and choking down a fucking frown to force a smile as I said no thank you to a dollar someone handed me. I'm sorry that my khakis aren't perfect. But at least he got a job. Exactly. Ken Moorhead, thank you for that one. He's in the chat room as well. Every Tuesday night, we do the shows live, and we record them, and people come in interacting, and I truly appreciate it. You should do it. If you're listening, downloaded Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, hearustalk.com. Let me tell you something real quick. Since we're talking about .coms, I want to tell you about a website called ICU2.com. That's ICU, the number 2.com. It's a video chat service. Okay, you may say, I know a lot about video chat services. I've been on several. Well, have you been on ICU2? And if you say yes, then I'll say you already know. I don't need to speak to you. The people I need to speak to are those who have not been on ICU2. The people that need to realize that the pinnacle of video conferencing is ICU. That's ICU, the number 2.com. Download it now. It's free to try. And here's how it works. You install this program. You choose a clever username, such as BoobyMan73 or SelfSuckMan76 or fucking Keith_Foo. You know, you come up with a clever name, you log in, and you turn your webcam on. Ka-ching! Like it actually is fucking film rolling through. And you'll see that other people have done the same thing. Say, well, I guess that that cunt bitch 24 is suitable to be on the friends list of BoobyMan73, so I will add her as a friend. She is now smiling because she saw my request, and I see that because her camera's on. And oh, wait, she can see me because we're face-to-face from any place. She may be in Tehran, Iran. I may be in fucking Des Moines, Iowa. It can happen that way. We're on this crazy planet called Earth, and we can connect all the lands except for Egypt with ICU, the number 2.com. I'm sure that if you download this in a few years, you may say, why not Egypt? Well, you probably just didn't understand the local fucking recent reference. So just anyway, if you're in Egypt and you're listening to this, just give it a shot. Who cares? ICU, the number 2.com. You know, it's a real nice day. It is. Despite all this negativity and anger, I'm kicking back with a nice cup of swill that I microwaved. It used to be coffee, but now it's microwaved swill, and it's in a big red cup, and I'm just thinking, God, I really wish I had some fucking coffee. Not this fucking microwaved, fucking frozen crystal shit, Folgers or whatever the fuck plastic containers came in. I wish I had some real fucking coffee. And I would go to Quick Check. I know they've wronged me. I would go there. I would get a nice cup of something fucking good, but not this. I went there this morning, and I have no complaints. It was just a fucking perfect experience. And this isn't even a plug, because they wouldn't, you know, they sent my my whole deal. I can't fucking go into it. Never mind. It's not a plug for Quick Check, but I'm just saying how much I enjoy them. So I go in there every morning, and except for a couple. But today I went in, and I saw someone that was very familiar at the register. As I walked in, they wished me a nice days. They asked me if I was working out today. But then I noticed, hey, he's not turning his fucking head. He's kind of just looking at me like a fucking profile. He's saying the same shit that's really creepy and kind of makes me want to spew diarrhea. But he's not looking at me for some reason. It's a little weird when someone just fucking gives you the profile. Like, if you're looking at them straight on and they're giving you the fucking perfect profile of their face. Hey, buddy, how are you? You have a nice day today? Are you working hard today? All day today? Yes. I wish I had a nice days. And I'm like, whatever, dude. The guy's fucking weird. He can't say day. He pluralizes day when he shouldn't. He's fucking weird. I understand it. So I go and I get my coffee. And again, the guy is my shadow when I'm there. Now I'm by the coffee, the pots, and I have my cup and I'm filling it up. He comes right up in front of me and I see him face to face and ah! There's a fucking black golf ball on his face. He's got a goddamn fucking, it's as big as a fucking golf ball. It should have said Titleist 2 on it, right on his fucking cheek. Just fucking, oh, it had a ring. I made direct eye contact with it. And then he saw that I looked at it and he went back to profile mode. He's obviously aware of it. He knows he's got this fucking growth. And he's ashamed. And I'm thinking, what the fuck kind of, what is that? It's not like a bruise. It's not like a Woody Woodpecker lump when you get hit in the head with a hammer and your fucking hair separates and you now have a fucking fucking lump on your head. And this is like a fuck. It looked juicy. Like if you, I'm gonna admit. I thought about like what it would be like to pop that fucking thing. And I have to say that just looking at it, I have a feeling there would be like that lava blood, that blood that's really fucking greasy, because it's mixing with zit grease. And just it would just fucking pour out, and it would still be raised like things like that, pronounced when you pop them or slit them open. Because for those of you who don't know, I was fascinated with cyst popping videos for months, and there's evidence on the Heroes Talk forums. If you go to heroestalk.com/forum, we find things on the internet is the section. Go in there. It's in there somewhere, okay? I watched a lot of them, and I instantly went to, oh, okay, I've seen something similar to this in a video. What was it called? Oh, MRSA. And I'm thinking, holy shit, wait a minute. MRSA is really fucking contagious. Why is this guy working near food? I don't know if it's MRSA. I just know that I've seen a lot of fucking videos where people had it, and they had a lump like that. They had, like, you could literally take a fucking rubber band and wrap it twice around it, like a part of Captain Lou Albano's beard. Just take it and loop it twice. You don't have to go a third time. It's that fucking large. It's golf ball sized. This poor motherfucker wishes you have a nice days every single day. He just wants you to have a nice days. And this is the way fate repays him. They put a lump of coal on his fucking face. And now he's got to look like he's on a coin whenever you talk to him. Just a complete fucking profile to hide his shame that everybody knows and everybody's trying to avoid looking at. There's something about a fucking a face malady or a facial disfigurement where it is the hardest thing to look at. Like, you start looking at your shoes, maybe texting or something, pretending to text or rifling through your pockets. Like, you do anything not to look at this person. And they're not even looking at you, because they don't want to have that moment where they're looking at my flesh golf ball again. They're looking at, oh, he's checking out the growth. Great. 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 Have a bad face. I don't know. So have a nice days, guy. Nothing but nice. I mean, he's creepy, but he wants everybody to have a good days. And I'm wondering now that he's going through misfortune, and he has something like shameful and something terrible on his face, does that kind of make it like a, does that make his little like well wish like mean more? Does it mean even more that this guy's having like a fucking goddamn crisis with his appearance, his physical appearance? Basically all he has for you to identify him by, because I call him by a fucking phrase he mispronounces. Just like, oh, the fat guy. Yeah, you know the fat guy. All you know him as is fat. All I know this guy is broken English and dyed hair. And now fucking terrible fucking rotten face cheek. Like, there was some reality show where I guess they showed all the fucking terrible things people had done to them. This guy drank Drano to kill himself, but he lived. So they had to like pull his intestine up to replace his esophagus, and he had to like manually digest his food and push it down to his stomach with his fingers and shit. And on that same episode, they had the guy who lost his nose, and he had a fucking strap-on nose. And in that episode, they showed you before they carved his face apart, he had this frostbite. And it kind of like, it was like that blackness, that dead flesh, and it kind of looked like that, but really fucking tender and thick, fucking just disgusting. And I'm wondering, now this guy's going through hell, and he'll tell you to have a nice days, and he'll actually inquire about your work day. It seems a little more genuine now that I know he's got like real shit going on, other than having to work at like a fucking Panera and a Quick Check. and put in fucking 1,000 hours a week. Other than never being able to sleep, now he's got a real problem. Oh, you have something on your face. Fucking terrible. It's absolutely stupid. And I don't know. I guess the only people I really interact with most days are people that work at coffee places. I guess that's really it. Because I hole up in my office at work. I hole up at home to work on shit, to do this show. Outside of people that I don't mention on the show, I really don't get a lot of strangers to interact with me. So I look to the people that I get coffee from. And I didn't go to... One day I went to Dunkin' Donuts. And this is part of the reason I started to go back to Quick Check. Like, I decided that despite the fucking lumpiness and the weird, I'm gonna go back to Quick Check. I tried Dunkin' Donuts maybe a week ago, and I got a cup of coffee. And as I was driving, I had it in my hand, the original position that I had the cup in. As I'm walking out, I'm driving, I'm sipping. Oh, I'll put it down. I'll put the cup down in the cup holder. And something happened. The lid flew off. The whole fucking cup slipped out of my hand. I spilled an entire medium fucking coffee all over the car on the way to work. And I filled up the cup holder. It's shaped like, it's basically the shape of a figure eight, and it can hold two cups. And it's now filled with steaming hot fucking coffee. And I'm driving, and it's icy out. And so I look. I'm trying to find something to soak it up with. I've had my stack of emergency napkins. Emergency napkins that I'll use to maybe wipe something up, maybe blow my nose or something and wipe some shit out of my eyes. I had to take the entire stack that I stole from some fucking place. Who cares? You just take napkins. It doesn't matter. And I jammed it in the cup holder, soaked everything up, and then I realized that I had nothing left to wipe anything on. And I've discovered that what I do, and I don't do it consciously, this is kind of a subconscious thing, I'll grab a napkin and I'll keep it in my door where the latch is, kind of. There's a little handle, I guess. And when I was learning to drive, on the passenger side, they have the same handle, but on the passenger side, that was the handle my mom would grip when I was learning to drive and she was taking me around. It's that little handle on the fucking door you just hold for dear fucking life if you're in the passenger seat in a car being controlled by someone who doesn't know how to drive or is a maniac. But on my side, I'll use it to stash this napkin away. And I guess what I do, not even realizing it, because it's just a thing, because I commute, and it's just the same as turning on the fucking radio or keeping the temperature at a certain, level. I pick my fucking nose, pull boogers out of my goddamn nose, and wipe them on that napkin. I do it the entire fucking commute. I had no idea exactly how many times I fucking picked my nose while driving to work until I had no more napkins to wipe it on. Because I kept finding myself saying, oh, well, I have a fucking, a huge snot on my finger. I have nowhere to put this fucking thing. So I had to resort to finding a place to wipe it. And I found, like, there's a little cutaway on the plastic under the seat. Hey, whoever buys it from me, you got a big bonus under the fucking front seat. I'd scrape it off there. And now behind that fucking little plastic is just a fucking stockade, a battery of fucking snot boogers. And I like picking my nose. I'm completely gross. I realize that now. I embrace it. I enjoy it. I have a lot of snots in my fucking nose. And you can think I'm gross. I know you all have done it. You all... See, that's the fucking thing. We all have fucking gross boogers. And it's not as though I'm in a business meeting and I'm sitting there and I'm just fucking pulling snot worms out of my nostrils and then interjecting with some comment about the fucking the monthly reports or a database feature. I'm not. I don't do it. I do it in my own fucking car while I'm driving, maybe with Amanda there. And occasionally she'll stare me down and call me gross. But honestly, you know what? It's my car. So let's see what happens when I'm in your car, okay? Let's see how it goes down when you're driving, what you do. Okay? We'll watch that. So I pick my nose when I fucking drive. And now I don't even use the napkins because I haven't replenished it. So I've been wiping my fucking snots underneath the goddamn fucking seat. I'm the most disgusting fucking person in the world. And I don't even care. I'm completely satisfied by it. I like the ones where you get a little bit, you pick, you scrape the side a little bit. And you reach in kind of like you're extracting a worm from some kind of a fucking opening. And I pull. And I like when they come out real fucking gross and tendony. Oh shit. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
This is Walter Subject, sir. How are you?
Walter Subject, how are you, buddy? I hope you didn't take any of my southern accent things to heart. Please.
Well, it's funny. I'm actually calling. I didn't, and I'll tell you, it's funny. I'm in my truck. I had a nice dinner with my wife. I want to listen to DJ New Style Mobile. And listen to Harris Talk Mobile, but I don't know if Harris Talk Mobile is actually on. So I haven't heard any of the show, and when I pick up the phone, I hear you talking about gross and sinewy. I'm like, wow, I wonder what I'm missing. It must be fantastic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about picking my nose and how I do it constantly. I didn't even realize it. I did not even fucking realize how much I truly pick my nose, and I do it whenever I'm driving. I'll feel a little. You feel something in the goddamn nostril. You feel something there, and I go in there and I pick it. I don't do it when I have to be on my best behavior. I don't do it in front of people except for Amanda, because honestly, fucking just deal with it. You know, she'll figure it out. And my main thing is, anybody who would call you fucking gross or say I hate him, it's so gross, and you pick your nose. They pick their fucking nose too. They definitely do.
Of course. You know what that sounds like though? That sounds very similar to like a feeling I had, before I went on a diet. You know, you don't see yourself. Like I said, I look in the mirror, but somebody takes a picture of you at a less than candid moment, and you're like, wow. You know, you realize, hey, I picked my nose a lot. Me, I was like, wow, that table muscle got real strong there, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a little embarrassing. But you know, I've always had a problem with people who love to like poke fun at your hygiene when, like, clearly they look like they're too shower shy. Oh, hey, dude, you should be picking your nose. Like, hey, why don't you go take another shower, huh?
Mm. Yeah, you know? like it's something they've never fucking done. I mean, if you're grossed out by looking at it and I'm doing it in front of you, obviously I'm the one who's wrong. I am definitely the one who's wrong. But don't fuck it. If I say, oh, I pulled this fucking thing out of my nose, it was incredible. It was half blood, half green, and half fucking like almost clear. It looked like a fucking gummy worm, like really small though. And then you say, that's disgusting. Who would pick their nose? You would. Shut the fuck up.
Well, I'm with you to a point. If you're willing to describe, it's like, hey, come and look at this before I flush it. Well, that's a little gross. Yes, we all take a shit.
You've never done that?
But it isn't necessary to revel in it.
Have you ever done that? You've taken, hold on. You've taken a monumental, impressive shit. You've never said to anybody, you gotta take a fucking look at this.
I can't say that I haven't. Something that was like, I can't say. I don't know specifically. I might have blocked it out, but I can't say that I haven't done that. You know, you take a big shit and you walk out. Hey, dude, you gotta come see this.
Okay,
this is,
yeah.
Look how long this turd is. It's the length of the toilet.
Yeah, of course. You know, I've done that. I've absolutely done that. You know what else I've done when I felt like I would be, it would be too shameful for me to do that, for me to say, you have to see this? I would intentionally not flush.
And
strategically place the toilet paper so that it would provide the best presentation of shit. And then you just say, oh yeah, I guess I forgot to flush this amazing shit that you should see.
Right, it's the Holy Grail. You gotta come see it. You may never see something like this.
It looks like Cookie Puss. You have to see this.
Absolutely, but the fact that you feel comfortable enough with the people that you can go, hey, check this out. Like for example, maybe you and Amanda, or like I did just yesterday. I think I sneezed into a rag, and I go, hey, honey, look at this. Does this look a little green to you? Like, do I need antibiotics? Like, she's looking at me like, why are you showing me this?
Because it's fucking impressive. Like, well,
this was part of me. I just want to share this with you. We're supposed to share things, aren't we?
You see, the thing about it, like, that's, you want to get, like, a reaction out of her, but for me, it's not, like, the pulling pigtails or, like, you know, running from girls or girls are, like, icky type thing. It's not, like, trying to shock the girl. It's more like me handing my terrible drawing to Amanda and saying, look at this and put it on your refrigerator.
Exactly.
Except my terrible drawing is a bowl full of fucking corn shit. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't show anybody, unless it was incredible. So.
Oh, of course not. It's like that whole, Dutch oven thing. Like when you fart under the blanket and then let your significant other pick up the blanket. And then only a guy could appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what though?
Watching her like make a face.
I gotta say the gas thing is fucked up. The gas thing really fucked me up. I don't like
really?
That. I don't like that shit. I appreciate a good fart noise, but the fucking smell.
Oh, come on!
No, I gotta tell
dude,
you,
I get a personal satisfaction. Erica will confirm this of us being finally getting all piled into a car, and me just dropping a bomb. And I'll admit it after everybody goes, "Oh my God, what is that?" And I'll go, "That was me," because I'll be the one just rolling, seething in laughter. Just roll out a window. No, I wanted you to smell it first. You know, like
I guess
I can't help myself.
I guess it's because 93 out of every 100 farts that I deal out literally smell like there's shit hidden around. Like there's no mistaking it. It's never like, oh, that's a hint. You've had broccoli. No, it smells like there is shit under my feet.
A corpse.
Yeah. And it's bad, and it's like there's no escaping it. I guess maybe it's a black hole
of farts.
I think the people that like you that can enjoy a fart smell probably aren't revolted by their own odor, whereas I totally am. I'm that hideous that I can't even fucking
really?
I can't even handle my own fucking scent. I really can't.
Well, I mean, I'm not sitting here smelling it like, ooh, like I'm wafting a fine wine. It's just I'm enjoying everyone else's uncomfortability. It's just watching their nose hairs curl and their eyes water and then make a face. Just, I don't know, it just does it. I can't help it. It's just, if I have one locked in the chamber, ready to go, insert Southern voice here, and I drop that bomb, I can't help myself.
God damn.
Baby, check me out.
Yeah, I don't, that's one thing I couldn't fucking deal with. I worked with a guy that would just fucking point his finger in the air, and then you'd hear, like
hey,
that.
Hey, calling the shot. Yeah. He's calling his shot.
Yeah. He's also like 60 years old. You know, I mean, okay.
Compacted colon.
First couple times, oh, that's a hoot, right? But when it's every fucking day, like, I had to tell him, I'm like, look, I don't know what part of my job description says that I have to inhale your shit. That's kind of what fucking does it for me. The smell of a fart is just really small pieces of shit entering my nose and mouth. That's what it is. Really
well,
tiny pieces of shit.
It makes you stronger. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Ken. It's whatever it is in KU makes you stronger. So you inhale a little bit of like.
You know,
now,
see, that reminds me of something.
I'm with you.
Especially,
I'm with you.
No, hold on. Gizzy's it. What ever don't kill you, make you stronger. You said it, and you do have kind of a little bit of an accent, not as strong as some. But when I worked at Frank's Nursery and Crafts, they would get deliveries of plants, and a lot of the truckers had these southern fucking drawls. And this one guy,
dang, man.
Goddamn, tell you what. And they brought in a whole truckload of these blueberry bushes, and they had fruit on them. So it was like we would get them off the truck and sell them, and they would sell that day because
they had blueberries on them.
They had blueberries on them that point. And some of them were so, like, they had them on for so long that some of them had fallen into the pot. And as we were filling out the paperwork, this guy, who was missing his two front teeth and had every other tooth, you ever see that combination of tooth loss where it's just the two fucking...
I can't say I haven't. Yeah. I'm in South, man. I see that.
Okay. Listen.
Yeah, come on now.
That is our unicorn up here. I understand it's like fucking... It's like seeing a stop sign down there, but it's fucking incredibly rare for us. And so he's leaning up against the truck, and he's looking at the pallets of blueberry plants. He goes over to one, and he takes like a big scoop out of the fucking pot, and he starts eating. He starts eating these fucking things. And my buddy I was working with goes, "Hey, you know, there's like fertilizer and chemical." Like all over that, and in that dirt, there's all these little chemical balls. The guy takes another fucking handful, shoves it in his mouth, chews it, and as he's chewing, he goes, "Oh, it makes him better." Only makes him better.
You know, we don't.
And as he said it, a little shit came out where his fucking two front teeth were.
Right, because the blueberry wants to squirt out the end because he doesn't have something to block it.
Yeah. Makes it better.
Of course. You goddamn son of a bitch.
So hate us talk.
Hey.
Hateustalk.com. Hearustalk.com.
Tumblr.com.
Hateustalk.tumblr.com. And you can also check it out on the Hear Us Talk recommended page. They're right there. You had a new episode. I needed to check that out. I haven't heard it yet. Do you want to give us maybe a couple fucking highlights? You want to give us something to look forward to?
Absolutely. We talk about users of all types, and we talk about I update you on my weight gain, and we go a little political. We talk about weight gain. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, you're saying we?
Well, I say we. The royal we. We're thinking about adding a member. I think my wife might be adding, coming on to the show here pretty soon as a new co-host.
Okay.
It's a little exciting, some changes coming up. But, yeah, we get a little political in the last half hour of the show.
Awesome.
And trying to change the format of the show a little bit. So, yeah, it's a little exciting.
And can I ask about Jimmy J.J. Walker, how he's doing?
He is actually he himself is doing much better. His grandfather's out of the not out of the hospital. He's no longer a life support in the fact that he's doing better. So Jimmy himself is doing better.
His grandfather was not doing so well for a while.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, I'm pulling off Frank there and just like throw. You know. Anyway, his grandfather wasn't doing well, and there was concern that that Jimmy might have to make the decision on, pulling a plug or whatnot. And luckily, that has not had to happen.
Well, that's good.
And so, there's definitely some positive things. And Jimmy's still kind of working. Apparently, he's lost, you know, about 100 or so pounds based on his stomach stapling surgery. And
Jesus Christ.
He's
I didn't think he had that much to lose.
Jesus Christ.
I'm fucking with you, Jimmy, if you're listening. He's probably not listening.
Yes. No, probably. No, he didn't have internet. He was in the ball of neighbors.
Oh,
that poor guy. He's pretty screwed up. But anyway, also before I leave, if it is possible to turn on the audio-only feed to hear us talk.
I have it on. I don't know why it's not working. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm running it. I don't know why it's not going. So, sorry, bud.
Anyway, I look forward to the next hour. So, I'll talk to you later, sir.
You should probably try a new browser. All right,
new browser.
New browser. Hey, listen, you should probably hang your phone. thank you for calling the show. I really, truly appreciate it. And also, everybody out there, thank you for listening to the DJ New Style Show, episode 289. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything that we've ever done. Subscribe. Tell your fucking friends. Rate us up on iTunes. Okay? I'd love to see more ratings and more comments on goddamn iTunes. I know some of you out there listen. I know you do. And I know you have friends. Some of you, a few of you, could really help us out. Thank you very much for tuning in. God bless us all. God, say a prayer. All right, thank you. Aw, shit.